Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Welcome, welcome. Hello, once again. Welcome to our weekly internet broadcast. I'm your host, Brother Joe Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. We bring guests on each and every week that are making a difference. I'm excited about the guest that we have this morning here, and she's going to come on shortly. But first, before we go any further, we'd just like to say hello to our listening audience. Hello, listening audience. Welcome once again, and thank you for tuning in. And you know, as always, this show is archived, and you can dial in at this number that I'm going to share with you to join in the conversation with our guests and just to say hello and to encourage our guests. That number would be 310-982-4126. Again, that call-in number where you two can join in on the conversation would be 310-982-4126. We'd like to say hello to our young men over at our computer training class over at First Free Will Baptist Church in the Duncanville area. And say hello to those young men and thank them for coming out. And we pray that things that we are doing makes a difference in their life, because as you log on to this show, you'll see a template that said change a life. I just like to add on that to help change a life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God. And that's why we bring men and women on here, how God is using in a very particular way. And this morning, without any further delay, I'd like to bring in our guest this morning, Ms. Caitlin Scott. She's going to introduce herself and tell us about how God is using her mightily. Good morning, Ms. Scott. You're on the net.
Good morning.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for coming right on here and being a part of our guest format here. And please introduce yourself and tell us about the ministry in which God has put to your hands to do.
Well, I write fiction books for young adults and adults. They range from all sorts of different topics, like the paranormal, supernatural, to actual relevant real-life issues. My current book is called For Danny, and it involves domestic violence, drug addiction, and hate towards the gay community. It was something that I had started just about 10 years ago, and it was whenever the whole Matthew Shepard and Tina Brandon and Barry Winchell incidents had come out and made they made movies out of them because they were so strange, so graphic in the things that had happened to them. And I had gotten to think about, you know, how that would feel to lose someone that you love so much, because whenever these hateful crimes are committed, it's not just the person that the crime is committed against, that it kills and that it hurts, but all of the people that actually love them. And that's what nobody thinks about. Everyone is so full of hate nowadays for absolutely no reason, over issues and things that the other people have no control over, and issues that don't even really affect their life at all. The color of someone's skin does not affect any other person or their life. Who someone takes home at night does not affect them or any other person in their personal life. So it is really curious to me how people can go to such extremes and kill someone that they don't even know, particularly for something that they can't change.
Yes,
but besides
that,
you know, whenever you hear about it in the news, you don't hear much. You might hear some graphic, gory details, maybe a couple of names, and maybe, you know, if they found the person, what happened to them. You know, they went to jail, or they're getting the electric chair, which will never happen in a hate crime for a gay person. But, you know, you don't ever go back. The next, a couple minutes, they skip over and they go to the next story. You don't hear anything else about the people that do love them. And that was what really I was curious about, how that would feel, because I have a few gay members in my family, and I also had a best friend in high school, and I wouldn't want to lose them at all for any reason, but especially not that one. So I was just thinking about it. I couldn't get it out of my head, and all of a sudden it just came to me. This, as crazy as it sounds, this little voice came to me, and she called herself Moira, and she told me her entire story about her and Danny and her boyfriend and her other best friend, Josh, and it just was something that I had to write down, because people needed to hear this. They needed to know who Danny was, so that way they can understand that it is an actual person that they're taking away. They need to understand their actions, how it's going to affect their life after what they do, how it's going to affect the people that love the person that they took away, how it's going to affect so many other people. It's not just, one act that they commit and then it's over with and, nobody really cares, because there are actual consequences. Even if the punishment doesn't fit the crime, there are consequences to their actions. And no one should have to lose their life over something so petty and trivial.
Yes, yes. And as you were sharing with me, I was just thinking about that you have experienced firsthand the negative response of people being living an alternative lifestyle. So you know from experience, I'm assuming that, because it allows you to be able to write this book, to be able to reach out to people and let them know that it is the way that you perceive it to be.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And it's, even in Texas still, most people think that, it's not an issue anymore, but it is in a lot of places, especially down in the South. There are, young men who are still killing themselves. And that was another issue. We decided to try to bring the book into play format, because there's only so many people that will read a book, and we need to get the word out there, about Danny's story as far as and as wide as we can, because last year there was a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old boy who had killed themselves because they were being bullied for being gay, and they didn't have any way to express or have anyone to talk to about what was going on inside of them. And when a 12-year-old boy hangs himself, that's a problem.
Yes, that is. Now, as you was writing this book, Carol, what type of research or firsthand experience that you have as you put this here together for Danny? I like the title of that there, because we'll point our soul and our essence out to someone that they may not even appear like they would have made a difference in someone's life. But as they read this book, you can see that Danny made a difference.
Oh, absolutely. And he didn't even know how much of a difference he made. At one point, he saved Moira's life through after a domestic violence incident. So, he was really a part of her. And it was something that it's a relationship that is so much greater than friendship. It's greater than family. It's an absolute, you need me, I am there, no matter what. And she had the very same devotion to him as he had to her. And what crushes her is at the end, she can't save him. She was not there. He ends up going missing, and her friend and her boyfriend, they go looking for him. But when they find him, it's too late. She can't save him. And it's just something that is actually so, gut-wrenching for her. She can't get past it. And the entire book is set here in North Texas. It's the same, cities that I've lived in and cities that I, travel to daily, and my high school and the mall that my mother used to work in. It's just totally centered here for North Texas.
As you were saying, it makes it so real. There's something that people can just actually relate to.
Yeah, and that's some of the comments that I've gotten whenever, after some people have read it, they were like, I could see it. I was there. And that's something that is a little bit more difficult for things that are, you know, outside of your zone, because you can picture it in your head and you can kind of see what you think it would be like, but it's not always the way that you would envision it. But I tried to keep it as close as I possibly could. There's some things, because it did take a while to write the book, there's some things that have been remodeled in that time. There's some things that are going to be remodeled in that time. There's a restaurant on 820. It's no longer there. In just the last year, year and a half, they had taken it out. And I was like, man, because I had already published the book at that time. But for people that have lived here, they'll know, oh, yeah, that was there. It's not there no more, but it used to be. Due to the expansion of the highways that they're finally doing, it's no longer there.
Oh, that's great. Now, tell me now, Ms. Scott, what is the earliest age that you saw that you had, that you enjoyed writing or putting your thoughts on paper?
I have always enjoyed writing since the time I was able to write. I've still got stories that I wrote whenever I was 5 that I had to have a teacher help me with spelling words, of course, but I have all sorts of stories that I used to do.
Oh, that's great. Rena, I ask because as this show goes on, we know we dedicate each one of our programs to our young men and women that wants to be successful in life, that have goals and dreams, and sometimes they say, well, I would like to do these things, but I don't have enough in me. If you were speaking to a young person, male or female, and they wanted to be able to put their thoughts on paper, what words of encouragement would you be able to give, you know, based on your experience?
Well, there was actually something from Kevin Hart that I had read, and he was talking about, you know, being rich and famous, but even just to, you know, do something that you enjoy, being recognized for something that you enjoy, most people want it, but they don't want to put in the work for it. And that's the thing. It all depends on where you want to go with it. If it's something that just is calming for you and it's therapeutic for you, then you know, you're going to find joy in it every single day. Just write. There's no reason not to write. And even if you want other people to read your word, again, there's nothing wrong with it, and there's no reason not to. There's every reason in the world to go ahead and get your stories out, because if you're like me, they don't stop. My head is constantly going, and I've got 7 more stories in my head right now that are just talking to me, and I don't have time to write them down right this second. And it's just absolutely all day, that's all I think about. So I can't move forward until I get it out. Other people may not be as engulfed with their writing as I am, but there's no reason not to, whether it be for fun or therapeutic reasons, or if it really is something that you feel other people need to hear and you want them to hear it, then, you know, write it down, edit it. I've edited for Danny probably 100,000 times.
Yeah.
And every single time I find something else, there's a period out of place or a word missing or spelled wrong. And I'm like, really, again? But you just go through it. And yeah. I know Danny, you know, I would have known him like the back of my hand anyways, because he's with me, he's a part of me. But having to edit it so many times, I know where every single place of my story is, and that's a good thing. And even if you're not famous for it, because, you know, writing is one of the really hard ones to be famous for, just because, you know, a lot of people, they're into video games now. Or movies, something that's more visually stimulating. But there's all sorts of ways. There's this book called The Writer's Market, and that has all sorts of editors and publishers and agents, all sorts of lists, magazines, anything that you can think of, it's in there. Anything that you would possibly need, tips and hints and examples, they're all in there for someone who wants to publish their book. It is really hard to get published nowadays. They're, you know, a lot of times looking for something specific, especially when you're in the vampire age. They're looking for more of the vampire books.
Yeah, I understand that.
So it's, you know, maybe hard to do it that way, but there's also other avenues that you can self-publish. And the one that I really like is Amazon, because you can self-publish it. It doesn't cost you anything, and it shouldn't. If you're trying to publish your book, it should not cost you anything to do it. You can put it in a Kindle format, which is very popular because most people are phasing out books now. I still absolutely love the feel of books. I get the Kindle is very amazing, and I can put 25,000 books on it, and I can take it anywhere. I can go on vacation, and I can take my entire library. It's a really awesome concept. But there's also just something about the feel of a book that I love the smell, and I love the feel of it. And it's just, you know, the cover for me is visual. I like the covers of books a lot.
Oh, that's great.
As
you were sharing that, that's what draws your attention to some books is the cover of them and things of that nature. So, hey, this is a great conversation. We're going to pause here for a minute for a station break. And then also we would like to come back and like for you to share a piece of your writing with us if you have a desire to.
Okay.
Great. So we're going to pause right here. What's that one?
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Digga Joe Lewis.
Well, we hope that you're enjoying this conversation this morning with Miss Caitlin Scott here, the author of a book called For Danny, and I'm very excited about this interview and very excited about what God is doing with her and how she's able to use her God-given talents to shape the minds of the readers and of her audience. And we would like for you to call in if you have a desire to. That number would be 310-982-4126. Again, as we go on with our conversation with Ms. Scott here, she's going to share a portion of her book with us, and we're just going to sit back and relax and enjoy this. Ms. Scott, you're on the net.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just share a piece of For Danny. It's going to be it's a year after the incident that had happened to him, so it's the anniversary, and every anniversary, Moira and Josh was his boyfriend, they go out and they just kind of visit his tomb. He came from New Orleans. He had transferred after his father had died, and so they ended up taking him back to his hometown, so they have to kind of travel about 10, 12 hours to get there. But I wanted to go ahead and share a piece of this because if there is any book of mine that people pick up, this is the one that I really wish that they would pick up for, you know, people who may end up being a victim. I want them to know that it's okay to be who you are. They, you know, find a support group of some kind and be you, because God made you and you're beautiful, no matter. For someone who may have caused a hate crime, I really wish that they would read it and find out who Danny is and see that, you know, there's a Danny all around you. And that's okay, because God made them and they're beautiful. So this is a year. This is his first anniversary. The rain beat against the sepulchres of the Lafayette Cemetery located in the Garden District of New Orleans as lightning pulsed through the night sky. Moira had been standing there for an hour looking at the tomb in front of her, in loving memory, Daniel Lee Taylor. A year ago, he had been brought back to his hometown to be buried in the family tomb. Moira had never been the same again. Suddenly, the rain started to pour down in large drops slanting in from the east. The black hooded sweater she wore was nearly soaked through. Water fell from her face in tear-like streams, but she wasn't crying. She couldn't. Moira had cried her last tear a long time ago. She just felt numb now. She could have stood in the cemetery in only a t-shirt and jeans and never have felt the chilling rain touch her skin. There were no thoughts drifting through her skull as she concentrated on the words inscribed on the stone, with her arms wrapped around her torso. She felt a gentle tug on the sleeve of her sweater. "Hey, I think we should go. It's starting to get a little cold, and it's raining really hard now," the broken voice announced in a whisper. His name was Josh. The only person in the world who could have loved Danny more than Moira may have been Josh. "Moira." "Yeah," she responded absentmindedly. "It's freezing out here." "Just a few more minutes, please," she asked as she too shivered from a cold chill. "Okay, sweet cakes. A few more minutes." Josh rested his arm around Moira's shoulder and patiently waited. "I miss him," she finally said, breaking the short silence, and then turned to go with only a few words left hanging in the air. As they left, Josh turned around for one last glance at the only marker that proved Danny had ever existed. "Me too." "Moira. Moira," a small voice whispered into her ear. She looked up to see who it was, but everyone in the room had their hands down, heads down, while they had took their exam. "Moira," the voice came again a moment later. She knew that voice well. She had heard it every night for the last year. Slowly she turned around, afraid of what she might find, and saw him standing in the back corner. His soft and thin facial features, his slender body, his long, thin fingers and athletic legs, his thick, wavy hair surrounding his face were like golden rays of the sun, and he had dark blue eyes, the color of the ocean waters. He was absolutely picture-perfect. Her breath caught in her throat as she stood from her desk. Slowly, as not to disturb anyone, Moira walked towards the back of the room to stand in front of him. Lightly, she brushed the back of her silky hand against his soft cheek. His mouth curled up into a half smile as he leaned in to her touch. She loved that crooked smile. Danny. The sound of her voice made his head bow with a blush in his cheeks. Moira, he whispered back. When he looked up at her, his eyes changed abruptly from adoration to fear. Moira's brows furrowed as she tried to understand. Why do they hate me? He asked. Who hates you? Why are you shaking, Danny? Tell me what's wrong. Them. All of them. Moira followed Danny's gaze as it swept the room, but there was no one there. All of the desks were empty. All of the hallways were abandoned. Only Danny and Moira stood there now in the empty school building. No one hates you, she replied as she edged a little closer. She whispered so that only he could hear her, even though they were all alone now. Sometimes people fear what they don't understand. Do you fear me? I adore you. Don't you ever forget that. No one will ever love you as much as I do. She took his face in her hands, stood on her tiptoes, and kissed his forehead. When Moira opened her eyes, she had to take a step back. What had haunted her dreams for the past year was again staring her in the face. She knew what was next and was numb to it. Danny's hair was now stained with blood flowing from the hole on the right side of his head. His nose had been shoved into the back of his skull, disfiguring his beautiful face. His mouth was crudely sewn shut with blue thread to keep his screams from being heard, and his throat was twice the size around as it should have been, taking on the appearance of a snake after it had just had lunch. Danny's left shoulder was popped out of its socket while his wrists and ankles were bound behind his back with fishing wire. It had been pulled so tightly that it started to cut through his skin. Three of his ribs had been broken as well. The last of the carnage was a bloody stain on Danny's shirt. It took a minute for Moira's eyes to focus because the tears in her shirt beneath the blood distorted the markings. After a moment of squinting, she saw the word fag carved into his chest with shallow gashes. Moira sat up in her motel bed, panting wildly while she waited for her nerves to settle and her heart to stop racing. You okay? Josh asked as he sat next to her. Huh? Yeah, I'll be fine. She was so used to the nightmare, it almost didn't faze her anymore. In the beginning, it had been terrifying. Moira would wake up screaming every night, the vision of Danny brutally misshapen never leaving her mind. Josh knew nothing about any of this, so now as she woke with a start panting, he was unsure of what to do. What's wrong? Nothing. You can't breathe and you're waking in your sleep. You're sweating in your sleep. I'd say that's not nothing. It's just... Danny. What's Danny? Frustrated, Moira ran her hand through her hair. I saw Danny. Josh got a little quiet for a minute. What? Moira asked. It must be nice to be able to see him. I don't. Josh was sad as he spoke his admission. More than anything, he wanted to see Danny again. There was a hint of jealousy with his words. Not like this. What do you mean? You wouldn't want to see him like this. Like what? Josh asked again, not fully understanding what it was she was trying not to say. Like how he was. Perfect and beautiful, but everything shifts, but nothing shifts.
Hey, man, hey, that was great. I was so intrigued by the writing. Again, we have on the line this morning here Miss Scott, the author for Danny here. She was sharing a piece of her writing this morning here. And Miss Scott, we have a caller on the line here, but our interview is about to end here. We're going to bring the caller in just to see if they want to say hello to you.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the net.
Hey, how you doing today, Dean Lewis?
I'm doing great. We have an author on the line. Miss Scott, she's sharing part of her book with us for Danny, and she was just reading some of it, and it's very interesting, and I'm looking forward to it. But her portion of the interview is about Owen. Would you please just say hello to her, and then we're going to bring her back on, and we'll come back to you.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hi.
It's nice to hear real intelligent and talented people talk.
Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Just hold on that. Go right ahead, Mr. Now. I'm sorry.
You know, I always wanted to be a writer, you know, and I know it takes a lot of skill and all that, you know, to get those characters and stuff together. You know, I was remembering about this guy named Rod Sterling. He said he wrote the Twilight Zone. He said he would do all those characters in his mind and go out around talking in apartment stores, and people thought he was crazy because he was living out those characters in real life.
That is a little bit what it's like, especially, I guess, for me. I don't know if it's like that for everyone, but they absolutely are a part of me, and they live in my head, and I can't finish a story until they finish telling me what happened, because it's not me. It's not my life. It's their life.
Oh, that's great. Ms. Scott, will you please tell us where we'd be able to pick up your book and any of your writing here, especially the one before Danny and any other books that you have published? How will we go about picking those up?
You just go to Amazon.com and type in, for your search, you're going to type in Caitlin. That's K-A-I-T-L-I-N. And the last name is Scott. That's my full name. And it'll pull up the two books that I currently have published here in, I'm hoping for 30 days, but possibly 60. I will have my next book out, and that's going to be a part of a three-book series. They can also email me. That's Kate, K-A-I-T, dot Scott, at yahoo.com. I'm going to get a website together so that way I can display all of my books, as well as they can just call me and I, you know, can order a book for them and they can get it that way if they don't want to do Amazon. But Amazon features the Kindle version as well as the book version.
All right. Well, great. God bless you. We thank you very, very much. This has been a great interview.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we are looking forward to hearing great things from you, and we're looking forward to seeing more of your writings and hearing more about you. And again, you said that you're looking forward to having this particular book presented as a play. Hello, Ms. Scott? Hello, I guess we lost Ms. Scott there for a second. Well, Ms. Scott, thank you very much. You've been a great guest, and God bless you, and looking forward to talking with you at a later date. And as we get ready to bring in our next guest here, we have Brother Daniels here on the line here. We're going to say hello to him. Brother Daniels.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing real good. We have another guest that's going to come up here in a few minutes here, but I just wanted to just say hello to you and see what's going on with you this morning.
Well, you know, I'm still alive. That's how it really counts, you know. God is blessed us to be alive another day and live in this wonderful country we're living in.
Yes, you're so right, you know, and that is so great. That is so great. God is good. Now, as our guest was on the line this morning, that was a very talented young lady. She has several books that she has already been wrote, and she have another one there that's dealing with hate crime, talking about For Danny. And as she was reading some of that, it was so realistic that I said, wow, this lady is very gifted. She described things just as they are. It's like I was looking at it. I was standing right there with those young people there over the grave of Danny. I stood there and I looked. And you know that, and Rick, and I'm sharing that because our young people are very gifted and talented, man. And I am amazed at the gifting that they have.
Yeah. Some gifts, you know, come from God, and the gifts should be refined. Sometimes, you know, and most of them being writers, most times they don't really hit it with their first book. Most time it takes three or four
books.
You know, novels they write, and some of them come up overnight, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just like anything else. It's just trial and error.
Yeah.
Thing, you know, you go out and you write something, maybe not being accepted by most of the writers, they have to publishers. You know, they turn the stuff over to publishers, and sometimes they get rejected. Sometimes it just lay on the shelf for years before people finally pick these books up.
I tell you what, now I need to call up our other guests, and won't you hold on to this line? I want you to listen to our next guest. This is a Mr. Terry Hall. He do an automotive training class for ex-offenders and people of low income. any help in the community. And it may give you some information where you may be able to refer people over there to him. And also, he do call, he repair cars at a discount for low income families.
Okay. Yeah, so, I still need that.
Yeah, we all need that. So just sit back and relax, and we're going to bring him in, and then we're going to bring you into the conversation also, okay?
Can I help you?
Good morning. You're on the net. This is Brother Lewis.
Brother Lewis, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for being a guest on the show. Now, are you able to tell us about your business and what God is doing with you at this particular time?
Yes. I'm really excited about coming on your program this morning, Brother Lewis. There's a lot of things going on right now. We still working with the young people. We're working with guys that get out of the prison, and we train them in automotive, and we help them find jobs. Thank God for the state. You know, it's a state program. We've been doing this now for about 20 years, working with young men, young ladies in this area. And what we do is train them, and the state supplies the tools, the clothing, shoes, uniforms, the goggles, the books, and all that sort of thing, and helps us out with it. We really try to work with the young men and young ladies at a lot of other organizations, or really people that don't have time to work with them, but the ones that really need help, we try to work with them.
Oh, that is great. That is so, and you know, that's a needed service also. Now, you were sharing something with me the other day prior to coming on the show, the other services that your ministry and that your organization provides, and I was very intrigued about those. Would you please share some of that with us?
Yeah, there's other things that we do. You know, we a lot of people have a hard time trying to get a car, so we use a lot of the young men and young ladies that get in our program. What we do, we'll go out and find a car and, you know, try to get means or ways of trying to buy them or to get these cars. Then we fix them up and sell them at a price where people can't afford them. And then not only do we do that, a lot of times we work it out on terms where they can pay so much money a month or every week or every 2 weeks, you know, they can pay a certain amount of money. And we try to work it off of what they able to do. We don't tell them, say, well, we got to have such and such, such and such, you know. And that way we can help a lot of people with a decent car where they can get back and forth to work, get them off the bus line. That enables them to go to grocery stores and do a lot of other things that they like doing, you know. And then they'll still have a nice car to get around in. Might not be a brand new car, but what we do is try to get it up and get it running and get it in working condition and get it so, you know, and then on top of that, if anything breaks down on it, they can bring it back to us and we can work on it. We do it very cheaply. I mean, we really help people out in that area. And then, brother, also that a lot of people call and they don't have a way to get to the grocery stores and stuff like that, and some of them are elderly people. We try to get at least 3 or 4 people at a time, and we'll take them to a Walmart somewhere and drop them off and sit there and wait on them and, you know, give them 30, 40 minutes to go and get the groceries, come back out, and then we take them back home, you know. And we do that for a small fee, but what we do, put that money right back into the ministry, helping these young men, young ladies out, you know. And a lot of the things that we do, going to the prisons, we go down, we got a prison ministry where we go in and work with the guys. Then when they get out of prison, they really need help. And society, to me, is just kind of, in a way, just push them to the side. And then a lot of times it's just recidivism where they go back in. They get out and they don't have a way to get a job. They don't have a place to stay. They don't have clothing. And another thing, this new organization that I'm working with called His Bridge Builders, they got a real nice setup too, and we're in the back of their building. We at 2075 West Commerce Street, 2075 West Commerce Street, right off of that's 30 and Hampton. Come down that big hill there, you can see, you know, that first light you come to, that's Commerce. Make a right-hand turn. We're on the left-hand side. Come to the back of the building. But we do everything we can to help in the community, try to work with the young people and, you know, grown-ups, whoever it may be, just try to help them out. You know, this organization here even gives out clothing to the people that come in and going to school here. They got real nice stuff, too. They give no junk. They really help them out. So, and then they got other classes here that help out in a lot of areas. You know, machine shops, they make windows and all kinds of stuff. They got construction going on. You know, they just try to, everybody's trying to help, you know.
Oh, that's great. Met a young man the other day, you were talking about helping, and he said he had just got out of prison. He's a young guy. He didn't get to finish high school. And I was telling him that about your class and an opportunity to learn a skill that even though he can work for himself eventually, because as you learn skill, you don't necessarily have to work for someone. And even if you do, if the job, you know, if during transition of the job, you know, play out or whatever it may be, you still can hire yourself until something else comes along.
Yeah.
And that's why I share with our young men.
True.
So, and I'd like to pass that number along to you after we get, you know, after this here, show the but as a matter of fact, I'm gonna give him your number because I told him it's up to him to make the initial contact, because we want our young men to be we want them to be committed to what they're doing, you know, because we can present things to them, but unless they apply it, it don't do any good.
Right, absolutely right, because it really, they just wasting somebody's time if they don't really want to change, if they don't. And then sometimes, brother, they've been behind, and I always say behind the eight ball so long. A lot of these guys, a lot of these young ladies, they don't even know what a change is. They don't. So that's the reason why we do life skills. They don't even know what it takes. They don't know. They really don't know too much about anything. And then you have to really work with them and get them to a mind change.
Yeah, a lot of them scared. They scared to death for a change because they're so used to doing things one way. They say, man, you mean I got to get a, you know, I need a job. I need to be paid bills. And a lot of them are not even accustomed to the little simple things that we take for granted.
Right, absolutely right, absolutely right. And we need people to take out or take time out with them. And then also I'd like to say why I'm on the airways, you know, if donations of cars, you know, like if you have an old car in your yard and we can give you a write-off on it or something like that, or something that you feel that could be restored or brought back, you know, we look for a lot of that kind of stuff too, because it really helps us out in this ministry working with these people, you know, the young people and the young ladies and the different ones that come by. Sometimes, man, we end up people in between jobs. They might be 40, 50, 60 years old. They over here training for, you know, just to learn how to, just another skill, you know.
Oh, that's that's beautiful.
And, yeah, so what we do, I try to teach them also, just like you said a while ago, don't get in the state of mind where if a person doesn't give you a job, help you, if you can't find a job, there's always a way to make a job.
Yes,
there
is.
There's ways to make a job without trying to beg up on a job. You know, I mean, job, when you say job, that means work. And
yes.
And there ain't too many people out there trying to beg up on no job. So what I'm saying, teach them how to do things, and then they'll find out that they can work their way in without going through all the red tape and a lot of things that they go through trying to get a job. But
exactly.
One thing will lead to another. I'm not really trying to make everybody be a mechanic, because some people come through here and when they get out of school, next thing you know, their attitude towards life has changed. Then they go into a lot of other areas. Some of them are going to college and everything else. So I just love to see those changes take place, you know.
And you're so right. I'm looking at one of your flyers here that I picked up from you the other day. It said life-changing ministry. And that's what ministry ought to be about, life-changing. You know, just like repentance, you know, ministry ought to be a change. You know, if you started this way, you know, where you are 10 years ago or 6 years ago, whatever, you still that same way, that's something wrong. There ought to be a change in
absolutely
careers, you know, mindset. And Mr. Ho, as long as I've been knowing you, I am very excited about what you do. Every time I talk to you, you're always sharing some things with me that makes a difference in people's lives, and I know that you're committed. But what makes you keep doing what you do? And I know that you've seen the bad side of trying to help people, but why do you keep doing this?
Well, brother, it's really a deep knitted set thing in my life where I've been through some pretty rough stuff myself, you know, and I was brought up in a Christian family. My dad was a gangster. My mom married a gangster and thinking that she was going to kind of get away from the church because she thought it was too strenuous, you know, going to church all the time, being in the church, and it brought a lot of hardship up on us. So I know what it's like to be in a situation where you need help and you can't get any help. You know, growing up here in Indiana where I came from, it was cold up here, brother. It's not like it is down here. And walking 5 and 6 miles to the high school and water being slopped up on you and you're up on the sidewalk and got holes in your shoes. And I've been through a lot of stuff. You know, wake up in the morning and those big old houses up here and the windows shaking and the snow blow in on the bed, you know, you had to sleep with your head under the cover and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just, I've seen some hard times. I know what it's like. And then when I see a person, and I'm telling you, it just hurts me because I know that it can be changed. I know that if the people work on it and work hard at it, the changes can be made. But as a whole, as a people, we find ourselves fighting at each other more than we do anything trying to help each other. So my thing is that if you don't reach out, who's going to do it? If we don't reach out for one another, who's going to take time out to help the young men and the young ladies? That a lot of them, no one's talking to them. Nobody's saying anything to them. They don't know one thing. They don't, brother, they just don't know. And, you know, sit there and they play video all day. A lot of the young people come, they don't know nothing about being cold, they don't know nothing about being hot, they don't know how to sit down at a table and eat. Some of them tell you they've never slept in a bed in their lives. They lay on the floor, sit in chairs and all that kind of stuff. You know, they never had that family togetherness where they'd sit down at a table and have a meal and you pass the food around. They don't know a thing about that. They don't know. They don't know about prayer. They don't know these things. So somebody's got to teach them. And that's where I'm at. And I know that, you know, God has called me to do this. And if it wasn't for God calling me to do it, brother, look here, I'd go get me a job. Because, I mean, there's nothing easy about it. I'd go get a job. And I've been in business for myself ever since I was a kid. I started working when I was 12 years old, brother. I know what it's like, you know, to get out there and have to make things work. And my mom taught me this, how to pick greens and how to sell the greens, how to clean the greens and all that kind of stuff. I was 12 years old. I was cooking my own pancakes. From scratch. I didn't have no box, and you put them in the thing and shake them out in the box and stir them up. But, man, you had to get you some eggs. And you had to bake a part. Look here, you had to make that stuff up. You had to do it, you know, if you wanted to live. So I know what it's like to, and I'm very passionate about it. I'm committed, and this is my life. I got to do it because God called me to do it.
Yes, he did. And you know what? And I sense that. Now, Ms. Holland, tell me now, how long was your automotive training class?
You'll be here for 12 weeks. And they'll say, a lot of people will say, well, what can a person learn in 12 weeks? Well, I tell you what, it'll get you in the door. It'll get you in the door. I've had a lot of guys come through here. I got them work, got them jobs at dealerships, different places where they were really. Now, the guys that come out of prison, it's hard to get them a job in a dealership. So I had to use other areas or other things to help them get jobs. But a person that's in school and is having a hard time, brother, listen, I can help them. If anybody wants help and they make up in their mind they want a change in their life, I can help them. That's what I.
Hey, do you have a number you can share with us if someone that listens to this program and say, hey, I need to call? And we know that this is the weekend, but just so that they'll know that, you know, they can be on the books and know that someone called.
Right. You want my telephone number? Or?
Yes, sir. Give us a number, a contact number. We hope that someone listened to the listened to this program will share it with someone else, because what we want to do, change
right.
a life.
Right. Well, it's 214-928-7777. That's an easy number to remember. 214-928-7777. Call me at any time.
Now, tell me something. I mean, guys that do not have a high school diploma or seeking a GED, do your organization or ministry help them get their GED, or how do you go about it? Guy will come and learn.
Well, if he comes here, and we got ladies that will be sitting here, they'll tell them, and then they'll get them in touch with people. There's a lot of people out there who want to help us in that area, and if they want it, they can get it. I'm telling you that right now. There's no excuses. They can't come in with an excuse. Yeah.
Oh, that is great. And we have a call on the line here. Why don't you hold on here, and they might want to ask you something about your automotive training class.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning. You on the net?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir. We have Mr. Hoggs on the line here. He's an instructor over at automotive training class. Do you have any questions regarding his training?
I'd like to know, do you have any restrictions in the vehicle that you fix?
No, we fix vehicles for people, and we really don't. We specialize in Volvos, but we can fix anything you bring over here, brother. You know, we work on we work on all of them. So if you know, we can help you in that area. We do it for a small fee. The money goes back into the ministry, but we can save you money on getting those things done.
Well, I think I need your service, sir. I just bought me a car last week, and I've been spending a lot of money getting it fixed back up to par the way I want to drive it. Feel like every week I find out something else I need to do to it. So I've been going to this mechanic, and they've been, they've been getting a large prices, man. So, special mufflers and stuff.
Well, give me a call.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, give me a call, and then we can see what we can do to help you.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Go
right ahead, Miss Daniel.
Do you offer it's just for men or women? Do you offer the training service for young guys?
No, this is for anybody that wants to come and get involved in it. You know, if they young men, young ladies. Some of the people that come, they in between jobs, they might be 40, 50 years old. They just want to try something else. So. A lot of different people that come.
Yeah. Okay then. Well, I'll get in touch with you.
I
got two calls, man. They kind of in bad shape.
Thank you, Mr. Daniel. Just hold on here, and we're about to come to an end with this interview. Mr. Howell, thank you very much, Dan. Now, tell us now, are you getting ready to make a trip down to the prison tomorrow?
Right. We're going down to the Hart Hughes unit and Alfred Hughes unit and the Holiday unit. We'll probably be over here, too, Sunday, so... we go down there, we minister, and the same thing I'm telling the people today, that we do the same thing in the prison. You know, it's basically what I try to do is let people know, and they can make it. They can make it if they try. If they want to make it, if they want to get out of the mess that they're in, we can help them. And there's always, you got to have somebody helping somebody. You can't do it
yourself.
Yes, you do. So we do everything we can to help in the community. And change things around, and the Lord's blessing us. So whatever helps we get, we turn it around and help the people that we working with.
Oh, that is a great thing. And that's what I share with the young men that I encounter them in the jail and the prison. Don't get so caught up pursuing the things of God. You're not concerned about the people of God, because God loves us just like He loved them. Even Jesus stopped. He said, "I must go through Samaria." Wait a minute, don't you know you take care of God? He said, "No, I got to go." And so we shouldn't be very mindful. If God has blessed us, let us be a blessing to someone else. And I appreciate your ministry. I appreciate what God is doing with you. And that's a skill. That is a skill that is well needed. And a lot of men like to work with their hands. I deal with young men to deal with computers. And I realize that all of them come to the class. Some of them don't care about computers, but just one. It might be one Bill Gates in there. It might be one entrepreneur. If I show him how to do something, and this guy could get Bill up on it, you know. And then one day he'll look back and say, ask him how he got started. He'll say, hey, God, someone took time out and they showed me something. And that's why I get a sense of your ministry.
Yeah, well, we have computer classes too, brother. We help them over here how to rebuild computers and cars and go into the computer and sell things and all that. Man, we get into that really heavy. So there's more ways than one to get, you know, there's a lot of ways in the automotive field that, you know, a lot of areas that they need people in besides just working on a car, you know.
Yeah, so right there, he just a mechanic. You know, we're talking about a mechanic. Ain't no nuts and bolts no more. It's a lot of electronics involved in these cars now.
Yeah, there's a lot of electronics, yeah.
You know, with the brains and things. And you teaching young men, and you teaching men in general skills that last a lifetime. The things that they learn from you and your ministry, it'll take them further in life. And nothing else they can just fix on neighbor cars or a family car. They say, man, you very gifted at this. Let me tell somebody about you.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You know, a lot of the dealerships, you know, they looking for service riders. They looking for people to mix paint. There's a lot of things, you know, even going out and, you know, like when people have wrecks, they got to have people to go out there, man, they got to be able to do that stuff, you know, and they teach them how to do it, you know, how to figure everything up and how to give them a good estimate and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of areas that you can get into, paint and body work, air conditioning, heating, and it just goes into too many different areas, you know, so... you know, there's more to it. They need foremen. They need good people, you know.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Hall, now what's your hours over there? If someone decided to take up your class, and we know this for 12 weeks, well, what hours are we talking about?
They usually hear from 8 to 5.
8 to 5. That's good.
We make, you know, little allowances for them. Like if something happens where they had to go get, because the state gives them bus passes and stuff like that, you know, to make sure, like if they got a car, the state will pay for the gas to even get over here. So there's a lot of helps out there. You just got to know where to go and where to go to get the help. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's great. Now, you're talking about the 12-week. Now, each week you got a different portion of the class, right? What do you do from the first to the third week as our show is winding down? What's, if the first person first get in there, what is the first thing they're going to learn?
Well, first thing we do, brother, the very first thing that they'll get into is safety. You know,
okay. They're
going to get into the safety part of where you teaching young people how to, where the fire extinguisher's at. Take that for instance. You know, how do you use a fire extinguisher? How to jack a car up? How to, you know, work on a car without scratching the car up, safety. Anything's got anything to do with safety, we kind of stay on that for a while, you know.
And, okay, that's good.
And then you're going to have your life skills every day, you know. Then after that, the first week, we just more or less kind of introducing you, but then we take off with it because we get into it really deep.
Okay, that sounds great.
And it's not just, you know, basics. We based it on basics to get this thing started, you know, but we go into a lot of other stuff, man. We be taking transmissions apart, engines apart. You know, guys want to know, well, a lot of people come in, they don't even know what a piston is. They don't know what the piston rings are. You know, they don't know what a rod bearing is. They don't know what's the crank. Where's the cam at? Where's the block? Where's the head? You know, where's the transmission? You know, we have to go through all this process. And it don't take them long to catch on to it. If they really come in and they want to do something, brother, we can help them. I mean, change a tire, how to do a brake job, how to do the air conditioning, how to hook a computer up to a car and tell you everything that's wrong with it, you know.
Yeah,
the diagnostic part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that
so,
is great.
You know, yeah, we do all that, brother. We get into it pretty deep, you know.
Well, Mr. Ho, thank you very much. It's been a great interview, and this is our update because we had you on here about 6 months ago, and we'd like to continue to use you to come in and to just keep us informed of what's going on. And who knows, maybe someone will hear this and say, "Hey, I'd like to be involved in this." Cause that's one thing about it. Sometimes we said things and then we don't hear about it no more. Some guys say, "Hey, I heard you talking about something. I ain't heard about it but one time." But we want to bring ministry in from time to time. Just give us an update. Let us know that they still that the opportunity is still there. Because sometimes people feel like I'd have missed my opportunity. Because,
yeah.
You know, because we have a God of a second chance. This may be somebody's second chance going through your ministry.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of areas that we need volunteers. A lot of times we find ourselves because, you know, people come in, never been to school here, and if somebody calls us and say they need somebody on a particular job somewhere, and then we have to, you know, what I'll do is call or somebody I know that just got out of prison and they're doing good and one thing or another, I'll call them and tell them, "Hey, go to so-and-so because they need somebody," you know.
Oh, that's great.
Matter of fact, I done got a couple people jobs already over here, you know, so it's just it's a matter of just really caring about people and being concerned, and we can get some things done, brother. We can get some things done.
You know what? That's what ministry is about. Caring one for another. It's great to share the gospel, but it give a man something that he can hold on to, and then he'll really see the gospel living in his life. He saw this gospel's for real. You know, Jesus did a ministry. He was feed. You know, he done a ministry. Then he realized the people got hungry. He said, "Hey, what do you have? You know, let's give them something to eat." You know, and they got a chance to see the gospel at work in their life. So we thank God for you and what you're doing, and we would like you to keep up the good work.
Well, you know, I say this all the time. There's a lot of times in society things happen, and it to me it's like breaking a man's leg, and then finally you figuring out, well, I broke, you know, I'm the cause of him his leg being broke, and then a little later on we want to know why he's limping. You know, that's what's been going on, you know, in this country. You know, a lot of times And I always say, if you want to find out where the problem came from, just follow back, go back, and do a little, follow the footprints all the way back to where he came from, and then bring it all the way up to where he's at now. It'll tell you everything, brother. It'll tell you everything. It'll tell you anything that you want to know. All you have to do is just keep back, go all the way back, and then come back up, and you'll know exactly what caused the problem, you know.
You're so right. Well, Mr. Ho, we got
to end it. Then when you know what the problem is, you can solve it.
Yes, you can. And that's so true. That's so true. And that's a great word to close out this interview. We want to thank you very much. We pray that you have a safe trip as you go down to the prison tomorrow. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week. And, you know, as we be on our post out at the Hutchinson Jail, and it's a joy to see you and the ministry team. I thank God for those group of men that go down there each week to share the gospel with our brothers and sisters that's incarcerated.
Yeah, I love it, brother. I love it.
Well,
love
God bless you,
yeah.
And we look forward to talking to you later. Have a good trip, okay? And thank you once again for being a guest and sharing your ministry with us.
All right, thank
great.
You.
God bless you.
All right.
Great. What a great interview we had here with Mr. Ho at Hogs Automotive, and as he was sharing with us the value it is of having a skill. And that's what I talk about all the time. You know, we teach young men's computer skill, and we realize that everybody ain't going to learn computer. Everybody don't want to know about computer. But just the one in there that's willing to apply what he had learned, it could make a difference. Someone took time out with me. And I bet somebody took time out with you. And as Mr. Hulk shared his life experience, someone took time out with him. Guess what? And it works. It works if you work it. We want to thank you once again for tuning in. We pray that you've been blessed by our two guests there, by Ms. Scott. She's an author for Danny of a great book, and she shared part of it with us. And as always, you can go back to on the net and listen to this show in our archive section. That's a Blog Talk Radio / Granny's Place. And we're looking forward to meeting you once again at the appointed time. And we pray that everything goes well. So have a great time. and a beautiful weekend, and we're going to just get ready to sign out. Before we go, we'd like to share a word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for the guests. We thank you for the people that came on this one. We pray that they make a difference. For Sister Scott, we thank you. For Brother Howell, we thank you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you.